Hello and welcome to People in Profit. I'm Charles Pellegrin. Today we focus on the unprecedented immigration crackdown currently taking place in the United States under Donald Trump and what it could mean for an economy that was originally built for the free movement of goods and people. To set the stage for our discussion, let's head to California, where the government has intensified raids led by ICE, the federal agency in charge of deportations. In Los Angeles, they've had serious consequences on the local economy. Workers and customers staying at home to avoid detention and pushing businesses to the brink of bankruptcy. France 24's Wassim Cornet reports.
In the heart of Los Angeles's Fashion District, the fear of immigration raids has left streets empty. Once packed with shoppers hunting for bargains, Santee Alley is now a patchwork of shuttered storefronts and worried vendors.
People are afraid to come because they think ICE are going to take them, you know. So our sales have dropped like 80% daily.
It's 1 p.m. before Ronald rings up his first sale. A far cry from the pace he needs to stay afloat.
Okay day right now in days, it's $300 of 15 t-shirts. That's the first one. So I need 14 more. Just for an okay day. Yeah.
And as raids multiply across Los Angeles, so do the images. Cell phone footage showing arrests in broad daylight are widely shared online, reinforcing a climate of fear across immigrant communities. About 10% of L.A. County residents are undocumented. Many now avoid neighborhoods with a strong Latino presence, where small, immigrant-run businesses are a backbone of the area's $1 trillion economy. That includes Olvera Street, the birthplace of L.A., and a major tourist attraction where foot traffic has nosedived and store after store has closed.
As soon as, you know, the ICE raid started being televised or, you know, on online platforms or whatever, then people just, all of a sudden, it was a, you know, ghost town here. Mm-hmm.
For many longtime vendors, it's just the latest blow in a string of crises.
They're just hanging on by a thread. I mean, everybody's, they don't know how, what they're going to do. We've been through COVID, we've been through the fires, and it's like now this, and it's like, we're just like, what do we do, you know?
And what's happening here in Los Angeles is being seen across the state. Experts say mass deportations could cost California's economy $275 billion.
For more on this story, we're joined by Tara Watson. She's the director of the Center for Economic Security and Opportunity in the Brookings Economic Studies Program, also the author of The Border Within, The Economics of Immigration in an Age of Fear. Thank you so much for being with us, Tara Watson.
Happy to be here.
I want to start with the realities of Trump's immigration crackdown. What do we know about the number of people who've managed to enter in the U.S. in the past 6-7 months and the number of people who've been deported?
There are a few things that we know and a few things that are still a bit uncertain. In terms of inflows, people coming over the southern border especially, we know those are way down. Starting last summer when Biden put some measures into place, and even more so once Trump came into office, we have very few people coming in through the southern border. Of course, Trump has also made deportations a centerpiece of his platform. And so far, it's been a little bit unclear how many deportations there have been. It's clear that they're ramping up, especially in the last month or two, but we don't have firm numbers on that. Nevertheless, there is a lot of enforcement activity going on, really unprecedented levels of arrests on the street. And this, as the reporter mentioned, has really made people afraid and affected economic activity.
Talking about economic activity, before Trump had been elected, you co-wrote a paper where you estimated that U.S. GDP in 2025 could be reduced anywhere between 0.1 and 0.4% based on Trump's proposals on the campaign trail. We're halfway through 2025 now, about 6-7 months into his presidency. Has your assessment now changed? And if so, how so?
We've been able to narrow down the range of estimates that we've produced based on what we've seen so far. So as I mentioned, many fewer people are coming in. That slows the economy because there are fewer consumers and fewer workers available to help economic activity. And we now are projecting a reduction of about 0.3 to 0.4. So in that range that we originally projected, but towards the low end of that range, because we think net immigration will be towards the low end of what we predicted as of last December.
One of the stated goals here of the MAGA policy with regards to crackdown is to limit immigration in order to provide more jobs for U.S.-born citizens. Is there any evidence to suggest that this crackdown is delivering on that aspect?
There's no evidence to suggest that at this point. The relationship between immigration and jobs for U.S.-born people is nuanced, but the bottom line is that most economic research suggests immigrants actually promote employment for U.S.-born people because they are consumers and because they complement the work that U.S.-born people do. So we really don't have any suggestion that U.S.-born people are benefiting economically from this aggressive enforcement.
Mm-hmm. Foreign labor is extremely important for certain sectors of the U.S. economy, notably agriculture, where there's one particular visa program, I think it's the H-2A temporary visa program, that allows foreigners to work on U.S. farms on a temporary basis. That program is under threat, but so far has managed to survive. Tell us more about that particular instance.
Our agriculture industry depends a lot on foreign-born labor, both through the H-2A program that you mentioned, as well as undocumented labor that isn't here on any particular visa. So far, it seems that the administration has been willing to continue with the H-2A program and perhaps recognizes that this is an important way to keep the agriculture industry alive. If we didn't have foreign-born labor, which is about 60% of farm workers in the U.S., many of the sectors of the agricultural economy would come to a halt.
So that's in a way exposing some of the fault lines within the Republican majority between those who are in favor of a really tough immigration crackdown and those more pragmatic pro-business types. There's another sector here that's interesting as well with its own visa here. I want to talk about the tech sector. There's another type of visa, the H-1B, which is similarly debated within the MAGA ranks, and this leads to a wider question. What's the cost for the U.S. economy to be less attractive to foreign talent, for the brightest minds from all over the world to no longer choose the U.S. to finish their studies or work?
I've often said that immigration is a U.S. superpower. That's not just because of the tech sector, but the tech sector is an important part of that. Immigrants in the U.S. are overrepresented in our patenting, in our technology development. Many aspects of our economy really hinge on the fact that we're able to attract talent from around the world. And I fear that this crackdown, both on the tech sector specifically and also on student visas, which is a major pathway by which we get that talent in the long run, could mean that Europe benefits because new centers of technological hubs of activity go to Europe instead of to the U.S.
Similarly, we're also seeing an increase in African students who might have chosen to go to the U.S. to study and now choosing to go to China, for instance. The mechanics of Trump's immigration crackdown, we're seeing the increased raids, the heightened border controls, all this also affects tourism. What's been the impact there?
Again, we don't have great numbers so far, but it does appear that tourism has slipped this summer compared to past summers. And the suggestion is that people are reluctant to come here when there's a lot of uncertainty about how they'll be treated at the border. And so we'll have to wait and see to what extent this is a long-running phenomenon where our tourism industry is depressed, but it certainly doesn't help to have this aggressive environment against foreign-born people.
Mm-hmm. Especially when we know that the United States is co-hosting the FIFA World Cup next summer and expecting a large number of visitors then. So we'll be watching that one closely. What we've seen as well throughout this whole second Trump presidency is the administration circumventing or flat out ignoring the courts when they say that their policies are not lawful or telling them not to send potential deportees to El Salvador. That sets a really a precedent that weakens rule of law. And that's not just a bedrock of democracy. It's an essential part of a free economy. Is there any way to, how would you define that impact or the consequences?
It is something that I've been watching closely. There are cases where the administration does seem to be deferring to what the courts say they need to do, and other cases where they seem to be, let's say, stretching the boundaries of what the court has said. So we haven't reached a point, I would say, where we're completely lawless, but they are definitely trying to see how much they can get away with. And one concerning factor is that the Supreme Court so far doesn't seem to be willing to really step up and insist that the administration follow the letter of the law when it comes to due process.
Have you heard of anything of the business community expressing concern about that, about potential bias in the application of the law that way?
The business community, I think, recognizes, in the case of immigration in particular, the value of immigrants coming to the country as consumers and as producers, as workers. But so far, most of the public discussion has been pretty muted, both in terms of concerns about the courts and in terms of the immigration policy more generally. We see that businesses in general are a little bit reluctant to put their heads up in this environment where the administration seems willing to go after businesses or people that criticize it publicly.
Tara Watson, that's all we have time for. Thank you so much for sharing your insights. As a reminder, you're director of the Center for Economic Security and Opportunity in the Brookings Economic Studies Program. Thanks for sharing your insights.
Thanks for having me.
And that's all for this week. Thank you for watching. We're going on our summer break, but we'll be back with some original episodes in late August. But don't worry, you can watch all of our previous episodes on the France 24 app. In the meantime, stay tuned to France 24.